Venus, Planet of Love, written by Arithmanim and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, The Locked Tomb, rating, teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Relationships, Camilla Hecht, / Dulcinea Septimus, / Palamida Sextus, Protesilaus Eptima, and Dulcinea Septimus. In the myriadic year of our Lord, the 10,000th year of the King Undying, the kindly Prince of Death, Dulcinea Septimus packed her sex toys, her latest crochet project, and her letters from Camilla and Palamides, and she escaped from the House of the Seventh. The sex toys were an overly optimistic inclusion. Dulcie's libido had always been a flickering thing. It waxed and waned in tandem with her health. Now that the remainder of her life could be more accurately measured in weeks than months, her sex drive had decided to depart early and skip the traffic, as it were. Dulcie wasn't too upset by this. When she was first diagnosed with the heptanery blood cancer, doctors on the 7th had told her that she wouldn't reach 25. At 27, Dulcie expected no further miracles, but with Camilla Hecht and Palamida Sextus waiting for her at the end of the shuttle ride, who knew? It was better to be prepared. Dulcie only worried that her dear friends might find her wanting. It was easy to be vivacious and lovely in her letters. She always tried to write to Camilla and Palamides on her good days, when the pain wasn't too bad, and her symptoms were manageable, and she yearned to escape the 7th in search of adventure, any adventure. On her bad days, which came often now, it was all too easy to languish in hopelessness. Dulcie was rather like an injured animal when she was sad. She retreated to lick her wounds and slept for days on end, too exhausted to face the tedium of her illness. Despair would settle over her, just as thick as the clouds of sulfuric acid that blanketed the 7th and never parted. Dulcie didn't like to talk to anyone when she was in this state. Unfortunately, her dear friends from the 6th were no exception. Her long periods of radio silence over the past year had surely worried them. She could only hope they'd written off her behavior as lingering awkwardness after Pell's proposal. In truth, her heart sank a little deeper in her throat with every pitying look from a medical professional she'd ever received. Assuming she could evoke that same reaction from Kem and Pell was uncharitable in the extreme, but the anxiety lingered. They'd been so good to her over these last 12 years. Some friction was inevitable, wasn't it? Really, Dulcie had been so lucky. 12 years of companionship with the 6th, a cavalier who recognized her worst tendencies and loved her anyway. Beyond his invitation to the 1st, the King Undying had blessed her in a myriad of ways. It almost made up for the cancer. Dulcie was lost in thought as Protesilaus wheeled her up the shuttle ramp. It was another balmy day at Rhodes, but Pro wrapped her second favorite cardigan around her shoulders as soon as they embarked, ready to ward off the chill of spaceflight. Her very favorite cardigan was dark gray, like she fancied they wore in the 6th. It hid bloodstains well, but Dulcie didn't want to push her luck. There was no scenario in which she arrived at Canaan House not covered in blood. As Pro secured their luggage, Dulcie wiggled her hands through the cardigan sleeves gratefully and situated her plackets of grave dirt. She sat in one, just like the adepts did in the comics, and held the other in her lap. The second placket was a little under 5 kilograms. It was like a nice weighted blanket, really, and Dulcie felt lucky to have it. Pro was worried about the effects of thanergy deprivation on her health, so he'd pulled a few strings until she was allotted more grave dirt than was standard. Honestly, this was a very sensible concern. Dulcie couldn't really blame him for fussing over her. Even if the benefits of the dirt were mostly placebo, her body was mostly held together with flash magic at this point. At least if she lost consciousness during the flight, Palamides would be there on the other side to reapply the theorems he'd devised, which was a great comfort to them all. Even so, the 7th doctors had been reluctant to clear her for travel. Dulcie had nearly erupted into an uncontrollable rush of hot, angry tears. Her condition was as well as it could be at this point, save a lingering cough from her latest bout of pneumonia. If they denied her this, they might as well kill her outright. But Protesilaus was there to back her up. His solid, dependable bulk was more convincing than any amount of hysterics on her part could have been. For this favor, Dulcie would tolerate an extraordinary amount of mothering. But she knew she wouldn't have to, which was the best part. Protesilaus had learned to pick his battles long ago. The skill set was serving him well as her body slowed down. Right on schedule. Pro pass through a granola bar. Several of Dulcie's medications needed to be taken with food, including her painkillers, or else they'd irritate her stomach lining. On the days she couldn't bring herself to eat, Pro piled her with small snacks. Skipping her medications altogether was untenable. She felt much better when she managed her pain instead of chasing it, and they both knew it. Today, Dulcie's stomach was fluttery with nerves, but she nibbled at the granola bar obligingly until Pro pulled out his poetry journal, satisfied with her progress. She refolded the wrapper and set the rest in her pocket, content to stare out the plexiform window as the remote navigator announced their takeoff. The sulfuric haze on the 7th was 20 kilometers thick, but their shuttle broke through the clouds in a matter of seconds. They left the atmosphere just as quickly, but Dulcie barely noticed the gut punch of energy deprivation. For the very first time in her life, Dulcinea Septimus saw the stars, and they were beautiful. The end.